A few years ago, a story came to my attention. Out in the Gulf of Mexico, there was a rather large motorboat that was facing a storm. The men in the boat, they were pro football players, strong, fit men. But the storm was intense, and the ship capsized. One of those men that were on that ship, and I don't remember how many there were, one of them survived, and the rest did not. As the ship capsized, they grabbed hold of what they could on that boat, and one of them had the fortitude to keep on hanging on until someone came to rescue. But the other one, or the rest, finally got tired, and just before they were to be rescued, they just released the boat and went out to sea. They quit fighting. They quit holding on. And it was tragic. It was tragic in that they could not hold on just for a little bit longer. They didn't believe that help would come. And so, one survived, and the others just drifted out to sea. Often the difference between heaven and hell is persistence. The value of persistence is seen in the story that I just told you. If you fail to learn persistence, you will fail to get to heaven. Because there will be a storm in your life. There will be a time when you just don't think you can hold on for just another minute, hour, day. You just can't do it. Have to learn persistence. But how do you? What do you do when you need persistence? How do you work it within yourself? How do you gin it up? Focus on possibilities, not circumstances. Focus on possibilities, not circumstances. What might happen if you hold on a little bit longer? What might happen? Well, the Coast Guard might come and save you from a storm. That might happen. It might be that someone will give you the money that you need, or you might get that job. You might survive that day. Sometimes it's all you can do, survive one more day. I've heard it told in time past, when problems arrive, anybody can do this one more hour. Anybody. Sometimes it's all you can do. Say, one more hour, I'll get through that, and then we'll see. Maybe that's all you can do, but there's something on the horizon. There's something waiting. Focus on possibilities, not circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances don't look very good in your family, sometimes even in the church. It may be that the country that you love just doesn't look very good right now. It may be that you think it's great. It may be that your neighbor thinks it's horrible. That's the way we are right now. We're divided. But we need to remember the power of God. We studied it a little bit this morning, Romans 1, 16 and 17, about the power of God and the salvation. The gospel is the power of God, but that's not the only power He has. He has the power to change lives if He wills. We need to remember His power. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. Can you imagine someone waiting for another day more than Abraham did? He was told he was going to have a son whose descendants would be like the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. But he was married to a woman that was barren, who had never given him a son. He was over 100 years old, and she was about 90 years old. And he had promised, that is, God had promised, that Abraham would have a son. Verse 17 of Romans 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The years went by, and the decades went by, and Abraham still did not have a son. And then at that time, when God was seeing about Sodom and Gomorrah, he visited Abraham and told Sarah that a year from now, you're going to have a son. God had the power to do what he said he would do. And we need to remember that. We know that Isaac was born because the scriptures tell us so. The promise was fulfilled in God's time. We need to remember that oftentimes God's time is not our time. Look to the future at what God can do. And don't just look at the circumstances. Look at the possibilities. Christian persistence is something we need more and more every day. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. This is a story of a Canaanitish woman who was where Jesus had decided to go out of the country of Israel one day. Matthew 15, verses 22 through 28, we read, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." I told you this about the King James Version before, but when it's saying, she crieth after us, doesn't mean that she did it for a short time and then quit. No, she kept on because there was her possibility right there. Her daughter was languishing in pain and in sorrow because of this demon. And she knew that no one else would be able to help her but that man. And so she continuously cried to him until she got his attention. Notice it again. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent forth but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there was a point. That was a point he made, and it was truthful. He was sent to Israel, Israel first. Notice what she says. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or suitable to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. There are different words for dogs in the New Testament, but this one needs to be seen as the puppies under the table, because that's what the lexicon says. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs or the puppies eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Persistence. I remember when I was very, very young, we lived in the city of Houston. And Houston at that time did not have a lot of programs for those that were academically challenged. My brother had dyslexia and other problems, and he wasn't getting much help in the school system there. And so my mother, every single weekday, called the superintendent's office and said, When are you going to have a program for my son? Every single day. Don't get away, leave here thinking that that didn't happen, because it did. She did get her program because her son needed something more than he was getting. No one was able to teach him to read until there was someone who knew how to do that, because he crossed up his letters and all those things. Persistence paid off. She called every day. Remember others who have made it. We first focus on possibilities and not circumstances, but we also remember others who have made it past what our barriers are. Do you remember who Vasily Alexeyev is? Back in the Olympics in 1972, 76, somewhere around there, this big bear of a man came and was quite a scene in the Olympics. He was the first one who had ever lifted 500 pounds above his head in the clean and jerk. 500 pounds. I want you to imagine just a minute just what 500 pounds is. I want you to think about lifting me above your head. I'm about 328 pounds. Then take another full-grown adult and add to that about 175 pounds, and you'll have what I'm talking about, 500 pounds. It's like picking up the end of a car. It's a massive amount of weight. But he was the first one. He was a legendary Olympic weightlifter, and he was the first to lift that amount of weight in the clean and jerk. And this lift, 500 pounds, was thought to be impossible. That there was a barrier out there, much like the four-minute mile. Roger Bannister ran through that, and finally, in the end, Vasily Alexeyev did that as well. You see, he would get to 499 and a half, 499 and three quarters, but he didn't believe he could make it to 500. It's, after all, no one has ever done it before. But one of his trainers loaded up his bar just a little bit over 500, and Alexeyev lifted it like he did every day, just as if it was 499 and a half. 500 and a quarter was on the bar, and he did it like he always did. And so the trainer told him, count the weight. Over 500 pounds. Do you know what happened after that? After he did that, every top lifter that knew about his lift, they could do it too. They could do it just as Vasily Alexeyev could. You see, once it's been done, a lot of people are going to be able to do it. Once that mental barrier is passed, once everybody thinks they can't do it, once that's gone, it just falls like dominoes. When we see that things can be done that we thought we couldn't do, things change. We become able to do what we thought we couldn't. And so we learn of Brother So-and-so who went to a foreign country. Well, he didn't think he could either, but he finally was convinced that he ought to give it a try. And so other people started to go and do the same thing. Somebody believes that they can't memorize, but then they see someone else able to do that, that frankly they didn't think they could do it either. They see it done, and they become sure that they can do it too. Someone thinks, I can't lead singing, or I can't teach a Bible class. But then someone they grew up with does it, and the barriers fall. They begin to do it as well, if they have any responsibility about them. The things that we need to do, someone has done before, and we need to remember those. Because it's important for us. There are people watching. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are in a race, and we may not think that we can finish the race, but others have finished that race before us. And we read the words of the Hebrews writer where he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's not a sprint. It's a long-distance race. We have to stay on the course, and we have to keep running in order to finish this race. Let us run with patience. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, why did he put that in there? Endured the cross, despising the shame. Because in your race, there's going to be challenges. In your race, you're going to have to run through some cramps. In your race, in your time of in your life, there's going to be problems in your family. There's going to be a time, perhaps in your youth, where you have to stand before enemies of this country. In this race, you just have to keep running. The challenges are going to be there. The greatest challenges were handled by our Lord. But we have to keep running when we have challenges too. Remember others who have gone before, who have done what you need to do. I include this next point because I remember it so well. My grandfather is not someone who you look to as a paragon of Christian virtue, not in the least, but he had hardship in his life. He's one of those people that were in the Great Depression, and when he got to town, wherever he went, he had a job because he worked harder than anybody else. And somebody would see him come into town, well, somebody's losing their job because Ted's in town. He said the best vacation he ever had was World War II. That's where he wasn't working on the roads, but he was turning dials down at the bottom of the ship, you know. And it felt like he was on vacation, really. That's the kind of work that he did. And he told me this, I'm certain, 1,000 times. And this is what he told me. You don't know what you can do until you have to. You don't know what you can do. You face problems. You may very well be able to handle that problem if you have to. You see, my grandfather was in a battle. We've talked about that battle before. It was the Battle of Okinawa. He had been at Iwo Jima, and he had one of those tracked vehicles that takes the Marines to the beach. He had one of those shot out from under him. But now he goes to Okinawa, and there's all these kamikazes coming from the island, and one of them hits his ship. Doesn't explode, but the weight of that engine, as it comes through across the waterline, went through the bow of that ship. If you don't know what bow is, it's the front. As you're facing toward where you're going, that's the bow. And it doesn't have a hole down into the ship, but the water is getting in. Right there at the waterline is where that plane went through. And so somebody has to fix the hole. Well, my grandpa was one of those that had to fix the hole. He says it's a strange thing as you're being placed in the area where that hole is, when they lock it up behind you. It's do or die. You don't know what you can do until you have to. That's the context. He's sawing 4x4s and plugging up this big hole with I don't know what they use, probably some 4x8 material or something. I don't know what they use, but he told me this, and I remember it. You'd be surprised how fast you can saw a 4x4 when the water's rising. You don't know what you can do until you have to. Well, they left that ship home. They had shorted up enough to where they could make headway. And they went all the way from Okinawa all the way back to San Francisco. They passed up Hawaii and went all the way back to San Francisco. And by that time, the war was over. They were going so slow. And my grandfather went on to live, maybe, just to tell me that. I would tell him, you know, I can't go collect that bill. My grandfather sold gravel for a lot of his life at the end. And there were people that would give him a check, and that check would bounce, and you would have to go and wait for them to give you the money. And one of the times that happened, he had me go collect. Grandpa, I can't do that. He's an older man. I'm about 17 years old at the time. He says, yes, what he said. You don't know what you can do until you have to, and now you have to. Go get it done. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 comes to mind. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He told that to people that were being persecuted, that were going to be harmed, that were going to be imprisoned. Jesus said to them, you be faithful. How long should I be faithful? Be thou faithful unto death, even though you die because of it. Last thing we're going to look at is Revelation 21 and verse 7. Who receives the blessings? Who receives the blessings of heaven and of fellowship with God in Christ? John writes the words of Jesus. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Let's not pass it up. He that overcometh, there are going to be problems in your life. There are going to be temptations. But the prize goes to those who overcome those things. It's not going to be easy. You need persistence. But I do it so badly. When I was first a preacher, I preached badly. All preachers do. You plan out your sermon, and the first sermon I preached in front of a live audience, I guess you could call it, it was planned out for 25 minutes, and I finished it in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. It just rolled out. I just came out so fast, they were surprised when I finished, when I was done. But that's all the notes I had. First time I led singing in front of a big audience, my throat locked up. Persistence told me that you just have to try it again. You just have to go again. Other people have gone there before. Other people have done amazing things. I can at least hit a single. Other people might hit home runs in their sermons, but I can at least hit a single. So I kept going. Kept going. And so should you. Revelation 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Privileged, cared for, loved. We must be persistent. Maybe you've tried many times to overcome some sin in your life. Maybe you have tried and tried and tried and have failed. When do you give up? When is it time to give up? For any right thing, that time is never. Keep on going. Keep on trying. Because heaven awaits those that overcome. What more could you ask for? Keep on trying. Walk in the light. There may be someone here tonight that needs the prayers of the saints here because they had not been able to before. They need to try again, and you just need the prayers of the congregation in order to strengthen you. Or you need to make it known that you've repented, and you're not going to do that anymore, and we need to remain in fellowship with you and encourage you. You may need to be baptized for the remission of sins. You may have thought about it 100 times as you sit in the pew, but you just can't get up and walk down the aisle. It's just, you're just too exposed. I remember when I did that, I was 15 years old, and I was a shy young man, and I was sitting on the back row. It was a fan-shaped building, and my parents were sitting over there, and I was sitting over there, and they could look right at me. They looked, and I wasn't there, and I was walking down the aisle, scared to death. So I understand. Maybe it's the day, today's the day, that you have enough courage to get up and get out in the aisle and walk down here and sit. And all you've got to say is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're not going to titter at you. We're going to praise God in heaven. And if it's time for you to obey, then you need to come down and sit in one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.